pattern where you sit more or less like a couch potato, especially when you are in the temple, when there's no backrest. And by breaking the pattern of the mind, concentrating it on something else, great things can be obtained. Now, I want to come to the heart of bhakti. I want to make with you an kirtan where you can invest the most important thing which you have, your heart. That is not always easy, because many of us have given their hearts, and the people who received the hearts were not always very kind with the hearts. We felt rejected, we felt misunderstood, and so on. And therefore, many of us have decided to lock up their heart, like the money which is locked up in the temple donation box. We don't want it to go out and be somewhere. But bhakti means to give that heart to Krishna and let it find shelter there. As I'm talking, I'm wondering what to do with this very intense draft in the back. Maybe we can for a moment close the London window here. What will you do, Prabhu? This is an athletic monk. Wonderful. Thank you very much. I hope you don't have now a new nickname, the athletic monk of London. We will pass the light through everyone now. Is this the program? Maybe we can just... You can all... What we can do is, because it will be difficult, someone can hold the light up and we can just symbolically take our hand like this and then lead it to our forehead and our heart. And if we mean it, it will arrive there. If it's just a ritual, nothing will happen. Have to talk practically. My dear people, how can we give our heart? This is exactly what a great yogi, Markandeya Rishi, had to learn. Markandeya Rishi was an accomplished mystic. He had, and he's famous for this, not fallen to the temptation of the most beautiful woman of the universe, who came to divert his attention. And it happened like this. He was one day meditating in his hermitage, and the ruler of the higher planets, Indra, the real king of the universe, felt that he is accumulating so much power by this meditation that he might covet my throne and chase me away from my royal position. So better I stop him. And he sent one nymph. You know what is a nymph? A heavenly damsel of extraordinary physical brilliance and charm. So Ramba came down to where the yogi meditated. There was a soft breeze of spring, and Cupid, the god of love, took position, placing his five tipped arrow. It was an arrow which had five not one tip, five-tipped arrow on his bow. Then Rama came to where the yogi was meditating. She had ankle belts because Markandeya had closed his eyes. So when he heard the sweet sound of the ankle belts, it was much sweeter than this. he opened his eyes and he became aware of this heavenly damsel who started to play ball and contorted her body and most attractive features which would make the greatest saint tremble with desire. Then, at the opportune moment, the wind god, who was a complice to this sad attack, blew the cloth of her body, and Markandeya saw her, and he shook his head. He said, "How can you dare to do this?" He began to look very stern towards Rama, and Rama immediately shaped up and dressed herself appropriately for the occasion. Markandeya was very, very angry. He threw a glance towards Cupid, who had dared to shoot his five-tipped arrow, and they all said, "It's all right, let's go, who came here anyways? We were just going somewhere else, goodbye," and they disappeared. Markandeya later was visited by the Lord Naranarayan, and he prayed wonderful prayers, and at the end, the Lord said, "Markandeya, you can have a blessing from me." And listen to Markandeya's unusual blessing. "I don't recommend that any one of you will ever ask such a blessing if the opportunity should appear." He said, "My dear Lord, everyone talks about the power of your illusory energy. Could I please see it one time?" Now remember, Markandeya had just overcome something which is a great temptation on the spiritual path. He had just been victorious. He had complete control over his mind and his senses. When the Lord heard this request, this extraordinary request, he smiled ruefully, means regretfully. "Why, this is not good for you to ask," but then he disappeared. Markandeya was meditating in his hermitage, then one day it started to rain. Nothing unusual, he thought, but as it continued to rain, the water became, there was so much water that it overflooded his little hermitage. "No problem," said Markandeya, and he rose and by his mystic powers flew on top of the nearby mountain range. But the water kept coming after him. He transported himself, what is it called, teletransportation, to another much higher mountain peak, but the water followed him. Then the storm started. The waves were whipped to high waves which started to roll over the mountains. Markandeya was taken up by such a wave, and it started to rain and storm, and Markandeya started to struggle for his life, and he swam for an amount of 1,000 kalpas. That's very long. I won't figure that out for you. It's really long. It's longer than 1,000 years. Very, very much longer. So as he was fighting for his life, freezing tremendously, he was a yogi, you know, he had extraordinary powers. He approached an island which was full of amazing fluorescent light. And he saw on the island a white banyan tree. And on one of the leaves of the banyan tree, he saw a mystical child. His body had the color of a blue, blazing sapphire. Sapphire is blue? Yes, sapphire. And he was taking with a very beautiful smile one of his foot, and he took the toe and started to suckle on the beautiful toe on his mouth like little babies do. And he looked with his deep, deep eyes into Markandeya's eyes, and Markandeya developed great attraction to this child. Then the child looked lovingly at Markandeya, placed his leg down, and breathed in. And as he inhaled, Markandeya was taken by the inhaling breath, almost like by mistake you may breathe in and a mosquito comes into your windpipe. Markandeya was breathed in the same way and disappeared in the body of the mystical child. The next moment he found himself in a peaceful landscape. But again, it started to rain. Again, the water rose. Again, the water caught up with him as he tried to escape to higher regions. And again, for 1,000 kalpas, he was struggling for his life. And again, he saw an island. And again, he saw a banyan tree shining brightly. And again, he saw the child looking totally transcendental, not at all concerned about the coming and going of creation, not at all concerned with the wind and the waves. And he looked at him ever so lovingly. And the same thing repeated itself. I want to come to the close of my little narration, which is about giving our heart to the Lord. Then the Lord breathed in, this time when he was taken out of this atmosphere of destruction, Markandeya arrived at his little hermitage. It was just like before. The birds started to make their sounds like these beautiful parrots which we see. They are the brothers of the real parrots. He could see the whole thing, and he understood that everything he had just experienced was only the display of the powerful illusory energy of Lord Krishna, the master of illusion, the master of creation, the master of our lives, the friend of all beings. I always say that we give our heart to a good friend if we can find such a person. If there is a good friend, a real good friend whom we can trust entirely, we give our heart. Do you know that this friend is someone who's maybe sitting very close by? I mean, how do you mean this? This is how I mean it. When we were still in the birth channel, or let us say in the womb of our mother, the Lord was there with us in our heart. When we were coming through the birth channel, he came with us into this world. When we were little children, he was there in our heart. He was there when our hands were perspiring with anxiety. We would pass that mathematical exam, yes or no. He was there when we fell in love with our first friend or girlfriend. He was there when we were caught by the world, totally misunderstood and dragged in the court of the king for judgment. I'm speaking of a previous life, when the two doors reigned over England. He was there when we were going through our life. He will be there on your deathbed, and he will have the same words for you, which he always have. Please turn towards me. I'm waiting for you. This is the friend. And in the kirtan, when we sing the holy name, we turn towards that Lord in prayer. He's with us in our heart, but he is also worshipped outside on the various shrines and altars. So I request you now, those of you, most of you, I believe, will like to turn towards the deity. We can all move in this direction, turn around. I think, I hope we have enough place. And those of you who like to address that same Lord in the heart can do this. And we will sing now, and we will observe the two things which we have learned already. The first was, sit properly in the right pose, yes? Break that sitting habit which you usually have, bent over in the computer-looking pose. The second is, we will chant and pronounce the mantra, but also listen. This is really a challenge, the listening challenge. Please do that. It will really be good for you. And the third is, please awaken your devotional feelings and direct it to the Lord, either on the altar, or if you like to meditate about the Lord in the heart, you're welcome to close your eyes and do so. We will do the kirtan, like you know. Gaur Krishna will choose a nice melody which fits. What is it? Good that it happened before we started. So please turn to this direction now. I'm certainly not a good replacement for. And I think Krishna wants all of us to worship him in our heart. Did you know, when you see any deity on any altar, if you want that to be a perfect darshan, you should have first the Lord in your heart. First some devotion in the heart. Otherwise it's just an eye ritual, no? An eye exercise. There must be something with feelings, with devotion. So we are now forced to go a little bit inside, because just now Krishna has chosen to draw the curtain. Please sit properly. Center yourself and bring the mind here, right here where we are. And as you sing, sing in a prayerful mood. Even the great yogi Markandeya could see that the Lord's power are so much more than his own. Even he saw that he was dependent on the will of the Lord. Even he saw that his own powers of controlling his life were really insignificant, not sufficient. Giving ourselves over to the Lord is not something like a weak position. No, it means to connect with the power of the source of all strength. So please sing prayerfully. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for really going into this. The sound of your combined chanting is wonderful. I'm not sure if everyone though is participating in the exercise. What we will do now is we will express from our heart something to Krishna. I know this means we have to focus a little. And I know we have to dig a little deep for some devotion in our heart. But when you do it, you will see the real fruit of chanting being given to you. Chanting in an absent-minded way is also working. It carries us certainly forward. But when we bring body, mind, and especially the heart to the practice, we will enter a sacred domain which is usually only reserved for yogis like Markandeya Rishi. And we will reside happily in that domain. Please, let's sing now. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Hare
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare time.